Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of 10 out of 10 would recommend. It's your girl Talani, Tolly T, alongside
Gina Morbat. Oh my gosh, I sound so
you sound so official.
I know. It's Gina. Hi everyone. So bright and happy. It was nice.
Do you know what? I am bright and happy, babes. Well, I'm trying to be bright and happy. Yeah. Or I'm getting really good at turning it on. Do you know, like, when you...
Yeah, this weren't how you sounded 15 minutes ago, yeah, babes.
It's called show business, Gina. Learn something from this, okay? Learn something. No, but honestly, though, I feel like I'm getting really good at it. It's like when you watch, if you've ever been, sorry, this sounds like a really, like, dick thing to say, but our guests will completely relate with me. But if you've ever watched, like, something get made and you kind of see it before they press action, you kind of see everyone, like, not really bother, just kind of sitting there, and it's like action, and everyone kind of, like, springs into their steps and, like, gets into character. So that's what I was trying to do, Gina, in case you didn't notice.
No, you did a really great job and I absolutely loved it. It put me in a really good mood straight away.
Amazing. How have you been, my love?
Sorry, turn it on.
Are you going to be the sad one this episode? I cried last episode, so Gina, let's keep the spirits up, okay?
Well, no, do you know what?
It's been a really bad week.
I've been doing all right because Saturday was my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
She's a birthday girl.
And what does a lockdown birthday look like?
Do you know what? A lockdown birthday is so great because people feel sorry for you immediately. So they make more effort. It's really good. You get so much more attention.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I'm okay. You're a birthday person now. Or you're trying to be.
I'm trying to be. If I had my way, I wouldn't have even been in the country. Just like keep it moving, whatever. Take like two friends, go somewhere else. But it was really nice. Spent it like with my mom. We went away. Like we went to somewhere to go for a walk and like looked at the water and it was really nice. Then we came back, ordered food. That was it. It was very nice.
Oh, that sounds really cute. I'm into that. I've done a whole week of watching Sister.
Yes, it's on Netflix, finally.
God, I've never known happiness like this in my whole life. And also, I felt betrayal from Gina because...
here we go. You keep airing our dirty laundry on this podcast.
Yeah, I will. Because be a better friend and I won't have to do that, will I? So, as you all know, Gina works for Netflix. And, like, by working for Netflix, you'd think she'll give her friends, like, you know, the up-to-date gist, like, the things that the streets don't know yet, but you get to know beforehand. Gina refuses to do this for me. So I had to find out on Twitter. Like, the mere mortals of the rest of the world. That sister, Moesha, and girlfriends was going to be on Netflix UK. How do you think that made me feel, Gina? Like an outsider is how it felt.
Yeah, and I can only apologise for the fact you felt that way. But it is what it is. I thought that the gift of you eventually getting girlfriends would be enough for you to forgive me. Also, you're now getting messages from people being like, Talani, put this stuff on Netflix. And I'm like, yeah, as it feel. Feels good? Yeah?
I've just been banging that sister, and I'm so happy just to be like, I've gone back to like 12-year-old me, whose biggest problem was getting a zit. Because that's what they call it, a zit. And like having fancying boys. I mean, fancying boys is still my biggest problem. And I'm still in the hetero ghetto, which I'd like to be. Still in it. Fun times.
Hashtag the receipts podcast. Everyone listen to that.
But yeah, I've honestly loved it so much. I think it's been a couple of days and I'm on season 4. That's how much I've been watching.
No, I'm not over that hetero ghetto.
It's a hetero ghetto. It's awful here. But yeah, I love it. So thanks for that, Gina, because I know that was your doing, apparently, that made it come on Netflix.
I'm going to take full credit for it. It was lots of different people, but I'm happy that everyone's happy. Right in time for the second lockdown. And another thing that's right in time for the second lockdown, see my little segue.
Look, he's professional now. Don't ask for the glory. It ruins it.
No. It was good. I just wanted to make sure. The Crown season 4. I'm so excited for The Crown. Season. Like I'm genuinely so excited. Also, The Crown is one of those shows that like, I think like a year ago, we found out like who was going to be playing Princess Diana, for example. And so like, you've got like this long build up of knowing that it's coming, knowing that the start of this storyline, a lot of people have been waiting for this storyline also, knowing that it's coming. And then being like, when is it going to come out? When is it going to come out? And now it's coming out this Sunday. And let me tell you, as somebody who has had the privilege to watch this fourth season, best season yet. Best season
oh,
yet.
Oh, really?
Done. Seriously. Seriously. Very, very good. 10 out of 10.
Oh my God, I'm really excited to get into it. So I haven't watched much of The Crown just because like Gina's sold it to me. Gina's been like, honestly, it is. She sends me voice notes telling me how you're going to love it. It's amazing. Please watch it. But kind of like, I just thought I was going to be about like the royal family and I just about know the national anthem. I was like, not my kink. I'll move on.
Yeah.
But apparently the drama in it is alone is worth watching. So I'm absolutely going to watch it. I'm actually excited I'm going to watch it now. So I get to watch all of it from the beginning until the apparent best season now.
So The Crown season 4 is coming out soon. And because The Crown is just that great, we didn't want to have just one episode. We'll be having two. So we'll have Erin Doherty, who plays Princess Anne, on the podcast next week. But for this week, we have Kate Hall, head hair and makeup artist for The Crown.
We are so excited to talk to you. Tell us everything that you're allowed to tell us, obviously without losing your job and still being able to do the next season.
Yes.
It's quite a broad question.
Everything. We want to know everything.
My cheeks are already hurting from smiling at you two. I haven't stopped smiling since you started talking.
Oh, yay.
I mean, I love it. I'm with you two. I joined to design season 3 and I joined as a fan and I haven't stopped being a fan ever since. I think it's brilliant. And I think season 4 felt for lots of us, it was just amazing. And it was because I think we actually remember the period that we'd, you know, it felt for me like I was sort of designing my childhood. And it was sort of a great mix of nostalgia. And also, you know, like from memory, the 80s were really ugly. But actually then when you're doing it, you tend to sort of fall in love with every period you're doing. And actually it turned out that there's this huge mix of textures and colours and shapes and styles. And actually it was really creative and it was really textural and it just felt really exciting.
Oh, amazing.
I feel like I'm kind of begging it because I was born in 92. So when you're talking about the 80s, I'm like, yeah, like the 80s, yeah, definitely.
Oh no, I've just outed myself.
Kate, that was not supposed to be shady in any way, shape, or form, right, Kate?
Gina was like, can't relate, can't relate.
Can't relate, too young, babe.
Under 30. Sister reference. I was like, yeah, yeah, I was watching Sister Oh no, I'm so old.
No, it's fine. No, I just about made it. I was born in 89. So I kind of...
There we go.
Yeah, sure. I kind of remember.
That doesn't make me feel that
No, it doesn't. But we watched it on the news and stuff. We remember it-ish.
Exactly. Because even though, this was not to out... I'm so... Kate,
shady, Kate. She's honestly so shady. Nasty piece of work.
I'm not... The thing is, you're... Let it be known, Kate, Ms. Hall, that Talani's a stirrer, all right? I say things...
Mrs. What? She's married.
Leave Kate's business out of this. Leave Kate's marital status out of this podcast. All right?
Okay.
No, no, but I mean, for this one, for definite, and I think this is what makes it so exciting for me, is like, I definitely remember, like, Princess Diana and Margaret Thatcher, these are, like, names that are definitely within, like, public conscious, like, anyone around this age will like know. And I feel like this season more than anything, I can relate. Like, I'm excited because it feels like recent history, which is what I'm most excited about. That was the point I was trying to land. Not me being like, how old are you?
I think it's like, it's nice because it's recent enough, but it's still period.
Yes.
There's still that kind of lovely perspective thing that means you can look back on it and judge it, which is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is something nice about watching, like you said, watching a period that you remember. Like, I was like, oh my God, I remember that. And I know how that feels like. And like films and TV shows do a great way of doing it by like music, what people are wearing, what they're, and what I always notice is like what people's eyebrows were. I think that's such a good indicator of time for me.
I feel so like you should look at an eyebrow from any period.
I love that.
Oh, I know what year that is just by the eyebrow. So
we're going into season 5 is the 90s and it's like, ooh,
and
no
it's
eyebrows.
Literally a line. Yeah. like literally.
I still don't have any eyebrows because of the 90s.
It's fine, you can draw it on now. My mum and my auntie's like tattooed, like cut shaved all theirs off and tattooed.
Oh dear.
Wow. Yeah, and it's so bad because of that. Look at you now. Look at you. Look at you. Nothing you can do about that. It's just your face now. Look what you've done to yourself. But like, as a makeup artist, what do you actually do in terms of trying to make sure that the makeup looks of that era?
Yeah, and we take a kind of I would call it a thorough approach. So okay. I start researching sort of 6 months before we start shooting, and we compile tons and tons and tons of images, and then I make them into photo reference books so that everyone has a guide. So every character has a chronological photo book. Every shooting block, which is a group of episodes, has its own sort of Bible of images so that every real person has a reference. And then I also make guides for the background, because actually it's the background sort of extras who set the period, really, because they're not based on real people. So given that we tell such a kind of a long story period, we choose specific points to evolve the look so that hopefully you don't, once it's edited together, you don't, as a viewer, sort of notice, but yet you get a feeling that we are moving through the era. So that although you'll start in 1979, 1980, you'll move through a period where people have winged eyeshadow, and then by the time you're getting to the early 90s, we're going into the kind of Heather shimmer lipsticks and neutrals, and we try and do that quite strategically.
Oh my God, that is so good to know. So Gina is lipstick queen. Like, that is, she won't brag about it. And I know she came here with a nude lick, very disappointing. I saw her put Vaseline on before this started. I was like, you are in front of a makeup artist.
Hey, are you seeing what I have to deal with? She bullies me. She bullies me on a Netflix podcast where I work.
Have you got an HR department?
It doesn't seem right.
I'm going to have to send an email. I'll CC you in, Kate, because I've had enough.
I'm a witness.
I'm just saying, you knew what was happening today. It was a good time to show off your lipstick skills.
I'd like to point out, I haven't got a scrap of makeup.
We've all come barefaced.
Makeup is not permissible in my 3-year-old caring lockdown.
Absolutely understanding, like, completely. But before we were talking earlier, actually, about lipsticks and kind of like, because Gina for many years has tried to get me to wear bright and bold colours. And because Gina will wear, like, you've worn a green lipstick before. What are your ranges in your shade?
Oh gosh, like, I used to wear black lipstick every day. You did. Like, as if it was my regular, like I used it like a
quite
nude
a
lip
TLC.
Like, every day.
Quite a TLC, circa sort of 1999 reference.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that reference. So I used to wear black lipstick all the time. I used to wear, like a dark navy lipstick, dark green, like purples, any lipstick. And I used to wear it to work too. Some days I'd look in the mirror like, no one's telling me off for this. I've come with bright pink. But it works. I enjoyed it.
You
it
had your
fun.
Gothic look down to a T. I really did. And I am like reds and nudes. Like, I can't even, a purple.
And glosses.
Yeah, reds, nudes and glosses. A purple is like, oh, I'm feeling frisky today. Like, something is happening today and I feel a bit frisky. So it's like, but like you said, it kind of like, it dictates time and all of that. What would you say is your favourite look from all of the areas that you've done? What is it like? Is it a lipstick? Is there an eyeliner? Is there a look that like, yeah, this is it. This should reign supreme forever.
I mean, if I were to pick an era for everything, so hair and makeup, I'd go 1940s, which is really cliched, but it's just beautiful.
What's 1940s?
I just love it.
Yeah, what does that
red
entail?
Lip.
Oh, yeah.
Really beautiful arched eyebrow, and then a kind of a lovely soft wave, high on top, just really beautiful.
Random, but that's my dream look for my wedding. I like to think forward, guys.
Nothing like making a plan.
I like to be optimistic in what's to come, and I like to plan for it, basically, and that's just how I roll.
I think the great thing about this podcast is that it's not just about TV, it's a dating service, it's a therapy session, it's all things. It's all that's
the,
great.
All the things. Okay, back to the crown.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, I think that this season has, like, because it's got both Margaret Thatcher and the Princess Diana in it, that's like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kate, to me that feels like a lot of pressure to recreate, because people are expecting them to, look very similar, and you think to get that down. Can you talk us a little bit through, I guess, the challenges of recreating people who are so iconic in British history.
Yeah, I guess it's, you just have to expect that everyone's going to have an opinion about your choices, and your choices are still limited by who your actor is, you know, your time, your budget, because although we have all of those things, they're not unlimited. And yeah, the pressure to do, I guess, because they're slightly different in that Thatcher was kind of villainized, so people have very strong feelings about Margaret Thatcher for that reason. And then Princess Diana was idolized. So you've got that thing where people have taken her into their hearts, and you know, we have to do something that is believable. I mean, nobody's perfect, so we're trying to do a kind of three-dimensional performance. Well, I mean, I say we, Emma Corrin, who does a great job, is trying to do something three-dimensional, and so we have to do something that supports that. So yeah, it's a kind of, it's a real tightrope walk between doing a kind of stereotype, a kind of cliche, or doing something that feels like an impression. So we're trying to find this, the truth in it all, which, yeah, I guess it's just, it's a fine balance, which I hope we've achieved.
I think you probably
have. We will find out on Sunday, won't we?
People will let you know. They will tweet you and let you know. Do you know what? Because Princess Diana, like you said, she is like, she's iconic, like she's idolized. She, and also her look is as well, like outside of her fashion, which today the girls are doing what she, they're wearing what she was wearing again now, to be fair. But there is something about, she has this particular aesthetic where, what a nice lady. Like her face just looks like, what a nice
she
lady.
She looks like a very kind person.
Yeah, I think it's all about that fringe. I think it's all about the constantly looking out from under the fringe with those big eyes. Oh, and it kind of, it's like slightly deferring. It's slightly demure. I think she kind of, I think she seems slightly submissive when she does that. And all of that plays into kind of, I might be a princess, but I'm on your level.
Hence why she was the people's princess. What a genius.
Yes to the branding.
So if you don't naturally have that sort of like, you know, oh, look at me, I'm so shy and also yours. How do you achieve it with makeup? Just for my own personal.
I mean, obviously, like the majority of it is all in Emma's performance, which is brilliant. But what we do then to support that, I guess, is obviously she has that very specific hairstyle, which always has that fringe and that kind of heavy hair on top to look out from under. And then we really go for it on the eyes so that she's got that kind of round doe-eyed thing, which is what Diana did. So everything we do sort of starts in the research. So, you know, she used to wear her blue eyeliner. The more vulnerable she felt, the more she felt she needed her armor, the more eye makeup she would put on.
So would you say, do you know that iconic picture of her in the black dress, that one that everyone knows when she comes out of, I think that was her big like, I'm single look. Because you know, everybody has that look.
Do you mean the one from the 90s?
Yeah.
I've not really got there yet.
Oh, you're not there yet? Okay, cool.
So I sort of know what you're talking about, but about not specific.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll have you back. We'll have you back season five.
I've just
really
exposed myself.
We'll have you back season five. It's fine. Okay. Yeah. We'll just completely skip past that. But is it worth listening to a trailer to kind of, to hear all the exciting things that's to come from season four?
Your Majesty. I think we have enough respect for one another personally to ask ourselves some of the bigger questions, woman to woman. We are the same age after all.
Really?
Just 6 months between us.
Oh? And who is the senior?
I am. Ma'am.
I'm actually really excited to watch it. Like, now, like, you both of you have made me really excited, and I want to see the looks and be like, ooh.
I feel like this is just like lockdown therapy for me.
Yeah, definitely going to watch it. I'm like, my girl Kate did that look. You're now my girl Kate.
Honestly, I feel like this is total therapy for being kind of locked in the house with a 3-year-old.
You can come back whenever you want, Kate.
Thanks, please do.
And obviously, like, so, like you said, this feels like therapy, but I'm sure, like, being sat in your chair doing hair and makeup must be, like, therapy for, like, the artist as well. Is it the same vibe you're getting hairdressers? They're like, so, where are you going on holiday?
I mean, probably the cast are probably like, yeah, dear God, it's so boring. But it's a funny thing. You get this, like, and I don't, you know, I don't look after the cast so much anymore because I go over the whole, I mean, we've got like 260 casts. So I'm sort of too busy to look after one person specifically. Although on this series, I did look after Gillian a bit because her makeup artist, Stacey, went on her honeymoon for a month. So I did actually get the privilege this time to do a bit of kind of close on set work. Amazing. And I think it's this odd thing that happens. It's like Stockholm syndrome, where you look after an actor and then you sort of just love them. Oh, and so you're just kind of like, yes, what do you need? Anything do you need? You just kind of, it's like you become this sort of, I don't know, you just, it's this weird affection that comes. And I've never really experienced looking after an actor and not having that. So that's the kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say confidant necessarily because, you know, you definitely become sort of, you have a close working relationship. It's an oddly intimate thing to do with someone when you barely know them, is to get straight in their face and start touching them. So you have to kind of, I guess, just get past that as quickly as you can. And invariably what tends to happen is you just spend loads and loads of time chatting. So by the time you've shot something like The Crown, you feel like you've known each other for a long, long time.
I can imagine this because I personally have the closest relationship on earth with both my hairdresser and my eyebrow lady. And like, I like love that. Like, I can't, every time I sit in a hairdresser chair, like I'm ready to tell my whole life. So things that I haven't told anyone, like, I'm like, let's get into it. Let's really therapy. So I feel like that's the kind of relationship that you have, like this weird bubble.
Yeah, I don't know. All I can describe it as is like from our point of view, so I can't speak for the actors, but it is like this kind of strange devotion. It's like this weird kind of like you're just in love with your kind of captor because you have to be glued to them the whole time. They're probably just like, oh, leave me alone, because you'd constantly, the other thing is you really want everything to be perfect, so any opportunity you can get, you're jumping in to correct their makeup, tweak their wig, you know, put a scarf over their wig so that it doesn't get wrecked while they go off to have a cup of tea, legging it after them, going, can I just take a photo for continuity? So you are kind of, once you're looking after someone, you're kind of glued to them.
Okay, so this might sound like a question that's off the rails, but there is a point to this, right? Hear me out. So you mentioned wigs, and that sparks my interest because I wear wigs.
Here we go.
And I just want to know, so when I lay my wigs down, there's like products that you use. I just want to know, are there any specialist products that you'd recommend? Because obviously their wig stays on the whole time on set.
Yeah.
But after a nightclub in, my wig starts lifting. And I just want to know if there's a tip that I should take.
Wow. So can I ask, are you gluing? Are you using a lace front wig?
So yes.
Or are you clipping?
Oh, Kate.
Yes, Kate. Nah, Miss Kate. Miss Kate. Miss Kate.
So I wouldn't do a full frontal.
I can't believe it. This Kate came with the tech. She said, are you using a lace, Francis?
Or a clip. So for those who, I use like a 5x5 closure. So it's like that, it's like a bit of a 5x5 measurement of a lace frontal.
Okay.
And I'll just spray some like hairspray, like a sticky hairspray to it. But like I said, after a night out, and a bit of sweat.
Sticky hairspray is not really doing
it. Is that
it
not
for
it?
Me,
right, okay.
As a kind of technical tip, okay. I would definitely use a glue.
Really? But it's the edges.
Yeah. So the problem is, I'm imagining the lace is quite thick.
Yeah.
We're really lucky we get super fine lace on film.
Right, okay.
I would be cutting that lace back as short as I possibly could. I'd also be cutting it in a wiggly line. Because if you've got a dead flat line, you create that shadow when you glue it. And if it's wiggly, you're more likely to get it into the kind of, you can express yourself. So when your face moves, hopefully your lace isn't going to kind of stick where it is, you see?
Oh, Miss Kate.
Miss Kate.
Thank you. Very, very, very useful. That was amazing. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. And then the other thing I would say is you need to make sure it's anchored properly elsewhere. So you've got to get your anchor points in the rest of your head and clip it as tightly as you can, because you can't rely on glue to do everything.
Right. Okay. Noted. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is
there ever been like someone's hair and makeup that you wish that you did, or you got your hands on, or a character that was like, oh, I'd have loved to have done that?
Yeah, it's funny because it probably really, it probably would be The Crown.
Yeah, that's nice.
I just love period. I'm really, like, I love history. I love particularly what Peter Morgan does in terms of imagining historical situations and sort of filling in the gaps. So I love Hilary Mantel, Wolf Hall. I love Mark Rylance, who played Cromwell. So I guess the only other show really that I think I'd like to do is if they make Bring Up the Bodies, which is the sequel to Wolf Hall.
You guys heard that first. Please bring my girl Kate in. Do you know what, actually, a follow-up question to that I have for you is this. Do you prefer recreating already existing looks or creating looks from scratch?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, I think it's maybe I'm a bit lazy. Quite like having, I keep thinking, what if I ever do another job and then they want me to do it from scratch? And I'm like, but where's the picture that I copied? Yeah. I've lost the ability to imagine a character from words alone. So I'm not even sure I'm capable of that anymore. I really like the challenge of trying to tread that line between kind of real and believable, truthful, and also not kind of a weird parody. So I mean, it's a bit of a niche, but I really enjoy it.
Do you ever get a say in, like, who gets, obviously not a say per se, but like, how early do you know who got casted for the role?
Because I can't imagine Nina Gold being too happy if I was like, yeah, no, it's all me. I decide everybody.
Because like, what if they give you someone that looks nothing like the person? What if there's like, here's Tony playing Diana? You're like, what am I meant to do with her?
Honestly, I am waiting for that day because some of the people that come through, I sort of go, they're amazing. I mean, the casting, the thing that's really, is always really exciting is waiting to see who they've cast, because it will, you know, it would invariably be someone that you would never have considered, and then you're like, oh, that's amazing. But occasionally, yeah, we do get some clangers, and then you just have to work really, really hard to work out. Remember when they wanted to cast Tobias as Prince Philip, and Prince Philip's obviously naturally blonde and Tobias is very much a brunette, and the thing is, his tape, his audition was incredible. And they were, rightfully, everybody was so excited. You couldn't really say, oh no, that's too
He's
difficult.
Not blonde. He's not blonde.
So he ended up getting his eyebrows bleached for 45 minutes every 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
For 2 years. I know. He's brilliant. So what are you gonna do?
Oh my gosh. Also, I do kind of love the big dick energy of you being like, that was the wrong decision. I don't want to do that. I don't want to.
I'm just like, if anyone asked me a question, I'd say, no, it's not possible.
Yeah.
Because they just can't be bothered anymore. No, I mean, they do. Occasionally, there might be an email come through to say, oh, we're thinking about this person. What are your thoughts? And I can really say is, well, it's either it's a big job or it's a small job, and then it's up to someone else as to how kind of worth it they think the casting is.
What was set life like? Like, how long were your days? Where was it based? Like, what was all of that?
It's sort of unimaginable, The Crown, because it's we have two units who shoot at the same time. One might be shooting in Spain, the other might be shooting in Scotland. One might be shooting 1982 and the other one's shooting 1990. The actors are crossing between both units. So we have two makeup teams across both units, but we have three artists that just follow their actor backwards and forwards. And then we have our sort of design department who are running fittings for casts that are coming up. And it's just this constant juggle trying to work out where to be, like, to prioritise where you should be. You know, at one point we had four different directors working on four different shooting blocks in two countries. And you just, every day is just a kind of reprioritising of where to be and when. So it's a bit of a crazy one.
Your job sounds very difficult, extremely technical. I think you're, don't sell yourself short. This, Yeah, don't underestimate, because I'll tell you what, right now, if I was stood in front of Gillian Anderson and said, let me do your makeup, she's not saying yes.
I don't know. She'd probably go for the green lips.
Exactly. Yeah.
She would. And she'd carry them off. Yeah.
She would. What was like the show or the big thing that made you get into this line of work and made you fall in love with period drama and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was that sort of a kid at school who was into theatre and doing drama and stuff. And then I did a drama degree, and I used to be the girl that did everyone's hair for things. Aww. But never really, I just didn't even know it was a job. And then I met this makeup artist one day and I was like, you don't get paid for that. Oh my God. And she said, yeah, and you can go to makeup school. And I was like, what? So then I borrowed the money and I went to makeup school. And then you just sort of, you know, it's like most things like this, you just have to get out there and start slogging your guts out. And then I was just really lucky because I had done a really little, I was like low budget Lil, and I had done a really lovely little indie film about Churchill before The Crown came up. And so I had this kind of, at least when my name came up, they had something they could look at where I had sort of done some real people, as it were, which I think was quite fortunate.
Nice. That's a success story, to be honest.
Yeah, but it was a sort of fluke story, in truth, just quite a lot of luck. But there is, it's worth saying, there's 20 people in the hair and makeup department, and they are like astonishing. They're an astonishing group of amazing people. So I'm a very small piece in a really big jigsaw puzzle of people who are obsessed with their jobs that make it look that good on camera. I mean, they are all driven mad by the will to make their people look good. Yeah. So yeah, the hours worked communally, I would say, across the department are insane.
Amazing. Wow. Gina, would you say there's any other period shows watching on Netflix? What would you say?
Oof.
Because I saw there's a new one coming.
What is it?
Is it called? Bridgewood? No, it's not Bridgewood. Something like
Bridgerton.
Bridgerton, yeah. So there's a new one called Bridgerton coming, right?
Yeah, Bridgerton comes out on Christmas Day, actually.
Oh, okay. I was quite wild.
Yeah. Today. Yeah, and that's very, very... Because the thing is, I think for me... I didn't used to call myself a fan of period drama because I only really knew, and I'm, this is no offense to Downton Abbey because I've never actually watched an episode of Downton Abbey, but it put me off. And so I was worried to watch The Crown because I was like, oh gosh, like I just don't want to. But The Crown convinced me to want to watch period drama. I don't know whether it's because it's actually more like it's a historical drama than period. I don't know.
It can have a reputation of being quite kind of staid. Stuffy and kind of like you're just replicating history and it's really boring. Yeah. And actually, I think it can be really fresh, and it's at its best when it's really fresh and really dynamic and really kind of current in its historical approach.
Because there is a show I used to watch called Why Women Kill, but I don't know if it's period. Would you say it's period? So it's based on three different time scales, so it's the 1960s, 1980s and then the 2000s. So if you ever ask me if I watch period, I'd be like no, because I imagine Downton Abbey. So I imagine that maybe like Britishness and like, I mean, that's
I would call the 90s period now.
Really?
I guess it's long enough.
I mean, I would, only because visually it's really different. So if I were having to do a show in the 90s, I'd have to research it and replicate something different. It's not, you know, I'd maybe call anything in the last 10 years contemporary, but...
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't really know.
Yeah, because I've always thought it had to be that vibe, and like they live in a castle and they're still wearing a corset. Do you know that? That's kind of how I see period.
Marie Antoinette and
that kind of vibe. But if you do think about it, I guess it is anything that was in the past.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, in terms of shows that I've loved, I think, did you see Unorthodox?
No.
Do you know what? That got such good reviews and I still haven't watched it.
I devoured that show. And actually, there's a lot about that I would call period, because although it's contemporary, that particular group of people, the Hasidic Jews in, I think it's Williamsburg.
I did watch that. Actually, yes, I was obsessed with that. Sorry, I just realised what you're talking about.
The performances were incredible. Oh God, I thought writing was brilliant. Yeah. Everything about it was great. And I would, you know, there's elements of that visually that look quite period, because you're talking about a group of people that haven't changed their practice for, you know, dating back to pre-war Europe. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a useful definition, period, yeah. But it's not, I don't think it has to be ironclad.
You escaped, didn't you?
You make it sound like I was in prison.
Weren't you?
No, but I left without telling anyone.
Why did you leave?
God expected too much of me.
Die Schat ging het ongetrokken eimetsen.
Wo is Frau Bucher is er?
Hier is bij jeden einen. Geherig.
Ich bin anders wie die andere Meidl.
Anders is geen.
Another Dogs was so good. You have it. Honestly, it was so good. I got so obsessed with it afterwards. I went to go like search some more.
There's a making of Unorthodox.
So good. I went on everyone's Instagrams. I was looking at everyone's Instagrams. I need to follow you all. Honestly, so good. Probably one of the best things I watched first lockdown.
It was the very first thing I watched, actually.
And I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Definitely worth watching. And it's not that long either. I think it's like six episodes, which is the perfect number.
I quite like the idea of expanding the term of period, because then I think it makes it way more accessible to people. Yes. I think people are put off by the word period.
Same.
Because now I'm sort of thinking, if it's in the past, I'm just thinking of like shows where I've been on Google, like I've been on Wikipedia at the same time, like, oh my God, what does that person actually look like in real life? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. Even things like Narcos. Did you watch Narcos?
No, I didn't watch it.
I don't like gangster stuff.
Okay,
that is completely understandable because Pablo Escobar doesn't have a great reputation.
Yeah. But,
so I get it. But I think even that, maybe that's different, but that set like ages ago about a person in history, that still counts.
See,
right?
But it's the writing. Yeah. It's the writing. I always think if the writing is really fresh and immediate, it could be set in the year, 1000 BC, or it could be set now. And if the writing, which is what I think is so brilliant about The Crown, is Peter Morgan's writing. And I think, if something is written with real kind of vibrant immediacy and the drama's there, then actually, I don't think it matters when it's set.
Totally agree.
Right, okay, Gina, what are your this week's 10/10 would recommend? What should people watch on Netflix? What should people be watching?
Ooh, I feel bad because I recommended... I don't think there's anything else anybody should be watching except The Crown. I know that's a cop-out, but I really don't think there is. Nice. That's quite a... That's a hard line to... I feel bad. No, I don't feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
Watch The Crown is absolutely fantastic. I'm not just saying that because Miss Kate's here and she's our best friend. I love it.
Our girl Kate.
Our girl Kate's here and I want to respect her. it's just very good.
For me, this week, I would say, you have to watch The Sister. Like, you just have to go back to watch it. If you've never watched it before, watch it anyway.
Watch. I bet the door's going to creak real loud. So late. I mean, she's really gonna go in there by herself. You know the maniac's in the cabin? The maniac's always in the cabin. Can you believe this?
No, can you?
This is so fake. Yeah. This isn't gonna scare anybody.
Hey!
Try to remember the year it was made. Like, don't look at it through being woke and now you know more, you know, educated, because that ruins it. And talking of periods, don't ruin periods of what you know now. Okay? Take your knowledge backwards a little bit.
It's true, but this is what Peter said to us when we were first doing Thatcher. He was like, I think you're judging her. And you have to remember, when we first see Thatcher, we didn't know what she would become, and she was full of promise and passion. And it was a really important note, is to not bring your own judgment to the process, you know.
You're absolutely right. I think, just quickly on that, you're so right. I watched it already with those judgments.
Yeah.
And you almost want to if whatever opinion you have of Thatcher, you almost want to get a bit like defensive, like, you know, those who don't want her necessarily to be humanized because she was a person, would be like, oh, but she was a person. Like, she's depicted as just a person who was like, she was nice and then not nice, like every other person. Yeah. And like, I think, you have to watch it 100%. If you're watching it this Sunday, which you absolutely should, you have to watch it as if you're just meeting everyone for the first time that you meet and that you're learning their stories. Definitely. Yeah. I agree with that for sure.
I'm going to definitely get into it. Another, I'll do two more that are just like things you can watch in the background, because I love a background show. Mm-hmm. Not everything needs your full attention. I'd say Next Up in Fashion and The Glow Up. You might like The Glow Up, Kate. It's about makeup. So it's kind of like, imagine
a drama.
Like, No, it's kind of like not reality TV show, like a competition type show.
In bedrooms up and down the country, a makeup revolution has begun. Now, out of thousands that applied, 10 aspiring makeup artists have a chance to make it in the real world.
It's absolutely ruthless out there.
For 8 weeks, they're going to live together, work together.
So I'm just going to stand here and do nothing then.
We should be doing a lot.
And battle it out.
Is it that one that was on BBC One?
Yeah, I think so. It's now on Netflix.
Sorry, Tia. Yes.
Excuse me, Kate. Yeah. You're fired, Kate.
I'm going to confess.
What is the BBC?
I've already done that one as a background show. And they are amazing, those people on it. Like, I couldn't do anything. You talk about makeup. I couldn't do anything that they do.
So that's quite nice to watch. And those are my two this week, I'd say.
Okay. All right. Well, I have one, a rogue one, also from the BBC, but on Netflix. It's called Interior Design Masters. Okay. I don't know if either of you have heard about this. Now, here's the thing. Of the many stereotypes that we've all acquired over lockdown, I got into interior design on Instagram. Like, I got very obsessive following all of the accounts. I follow so many people with, like, fancy houses in... I don't have a house to decorate, but I was still fancy, like, following all of them. And there's this new show where they've gotten these interior designers together and it's like a competition.
Are you feeling horny?
I think we've got this.
Wowzers.
I absolutely hate it.
I did not want to see bland.
I'm looking for magic.
Wow.
It feels naughty.
And I like that.
I want this.
I will defend myself.
Who knows who's got this one?
Oh, I don't know.
Welcome to Interior Design Masters.
It's kind of like Great British Bake Off vibes, but like for houses. And they're set with tasks. And like the first week they had to design a show home. The second week they had to like design a hotel room. And like the theme was either dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate. It's just, if you're into that kind of thing, if you decided that you could definitely design homes after stalking 150 home Instagrams like I have, that's the best TV show to watch for sure. It's very satisfying. Nice.
I'm into that. I was going to ask you, because like Netflix is pushing this show in my face. No, I haven't watched it yet. It's a film. The Secret, Dare to Dream with Katie Holmes. Yes or no? It feels like it's going to be very slow.
I haven't been pushed that, so I don't know whether that's your algorithm.
Netflix, it says more about me than it says about Netflix. Of course
it does.
They've been shoving that film in my face every single time. It's like The Secret, Dare to Dream. But do you know what it is? Because every so often I watch like an uplifting film that I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
I feel like it looks like £7 or like The Pursuit of Happiness. It feels like that kind of vibe.
One other thing to recommend, though, we actually get Moesha on the service. And I think Moesha comes this Friday.
Responsibilities, it's me.
I didn't know what you were doing then. And I was like, is this a stroke or...
the theme tune. I'm realising my responsibilities. Do you know the best thing about Moesha? Was she writes in her diaries. Dear diary. Like the beginning of every episode, she writes in her diary. And it's so good.
Love it.
Sorry, I'm really excited. But yeah, Moesha is also back. Well, on Netflix UK now. But yeah, that is it for this week's episode of 10 out of 10 would recommend. Kate, thank you so much.
Miss Kate.
My pleasure. Thanks for being my new best friends.
That is it. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I've been Talani.
And I have been Gina. And if you want to find us anywhere, you'll find the podcast. It's 10 out of 10. Would recommend. Please rate us, subscribe to us, leave a nice comment, tweet about us with the hashtag 10 out of 10 would recommend. Tell us what you're watching. Tell us whether you watch any of the shows that T or I or Kate recommended. And if you want to find Netflix anywhere on the web, it's at Netflix UK or at Netflix on TikTok. And T, where can we find you?
You can find me at Tolly_T everywhere. Kate, where can we find you?
I think I'm at Kate.Hall. I think I've got about 17 followers.
If you can't find Kate, you can just find me at SmileGina. Do that instead.
Yes, please do. And be sure to watch The Crown. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.